Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board. Ram, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, let's start with some basics. The Railroad Retirement Board, you were telling me a funny story before we got this conversation started, that under the Best Places to Work survey, you guys are considered a large agency, yet you go to the Small Agency CIO Council, which probably tells me you're somewhere in the middle. What is the Railroad Retirement Board? What is your mission?
Well, our mission, I would say, is that, first of all, you know, we are an independent agency in the executive branch of the federal government. Our agency's primary function is to administer comprehensive retirement survivor and unemployment sickness benefit programs for our nation's railroad workers and their families. The two acts, the Railroad Retirement and the Railroad Unemployment Insurance Act, that's what we are primarily based on. To give you some numbers, in the fiscal year 2013, the RRB paid $11.3 billion retirement survivor benefits to about 573,000 beneficiaries. And we also paid 89 million unemployment sickness benefits to 20,000 claimants. So that gives you the size of the organization, it keeps us busy what we do.
Well, absolutely. And you as the CIO, which we're going to get to in a second, probably also all the data that you got to deal with, all the payments and financial systems also, that's where you come in. Real quick before we go into your role, your organization feels like something from the heyday of railroads, the 1870s to the 1940s. Are you guys decades and decades old?
That's correct. In fact, the reason why we are separate from the Social Security Administration is given that fact. The railroads were, like you said, were from the 1800s, 1870s, I should say. And, they had their pension benefits and retirement plans much before the federal government started the Social Security Administration. And I guess that's how things have started. And, we still are providing those benefits to this class of railroad employees.
One of the things that's interesting is you don't think about railroad employees anymore, but there are plenty. I mean, if you think about the Amtrak's in the D.C. area and across the country, and then all the local railroads, I'm sure all those people kind of fall into there in one way or the other. Let's talk about your role a little bit as a CIO. How do you support that mission of the Railroad Retirement Board?
Our office, it's called the Bureau of Information Services. I challenge and motivate and empower my team so that we can provide increased value to the agency's core mission through automated systems and improvements in technology. By doing so, I enable the RRB to achieve its strategic goals. Primarily, it is to provide excellent customer service, such as on-time benefits or payments, and to serve as responsible stewards for our customers' trust funds and agency resources, such as ensuring the accuracy and integrity of the programs, the benefit programs, and also ensuring the effectiveness and efficiency and security of our IT operations. So we have two primary goals and missions, and my office here is to make sure that we can provide that excellent customer service using the automated systems.
So you specifically, though, as CIO, are you an operations guy? Are you a strategic guy? Do you have the foot in both doors?
I have foot in both doors. I'm more of a strategic thinker. I have six direct reports that helps me both from the operation side as well as making sure that our applications are performing to what they should be, and also from an enterprise architecture, we're looking out to see how best we can, serve in the future too.
And then obviously the strategic side is important too, where you're looking at, okay, what's the up and coming technologies, whether it's cloud or mobile, or what else, can you do around cyber that's important too? Where does that come in? Is there a governance council? Do you work with the chairman and the directors and the other senior managers?
To give you a little bit about our, I mentioned about the six senior directors that we have, and they've, just like any other CIO organization, we have all those divisions here, from applications to infrastructure to enterprise architecture. The agency or the bureau isn't that big. I primarily have about 150 FTEs. We are small in contractors, possibly I should say about 20% of the staff, and our baseline budget is maybe about $25 million. Now, given that about the priorities and challenges that you're just mentioning, I have the classic real-world challenges, and I see these as near-term opportunities. Whether I talk about the aging workforce or the legacy COBOL applications that I have here, or even embracing social media to reach out to the railroad community.
The baseline budget of $25 million, is that for all of the RRB, or is that just for the IT shop?
This is the IT shop. It does include our FTEs, so not just projects, to maintain my steady state operations. I do go and put in the Exhibit 300 and so on for our CapEx, a one-time capital investment. But our steady state budget is 25, yes.
Okay, and then of that, can you break it down between the DME and the operations and maintenance O&M stuff, or is there a breakdown you can offer?
Primarily, I would say that most of this, about 15 or so, is for steady state. Possibly we put about $10 million towards the DME. Now, if it's a big project like the one that we just recently, you know, for our financial systems migration, those would be, I've not included that into the $25 million because those are one-offs. It comes once in a while. So does the $25 include all my DME projects? Probably not.
Okay, because I think that's good to know. I know we always get a lot of vendors who listen to the show, so it's always helpful.
Right.
Well, before we jump into your priorities, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk all about priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board. Now, Ram, before break, we were talking a lot about your office, your mission, and how you support the Railroad Retirement Board's mission, and even your budget a little bit. Let's talk about some of those priorities. What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
My priority is, like I was saying, that, you know, I have an aging workforce, like I say, COBOL applications. So my priority is to consolidate, keep it simple, and standardize. We just migrated to a newer mainframe to sustain our operations for the next 4 years. So that gives me the window of opportunity to move forward on the enterprise IT roadmap, focusing primarily on self-service and enhanced identity management solutions for the railroad community. I'm also looking at mobile computing with the bring-your-own-device, possibly even a private cloud for compute and storage utilization to address the legacy computing and storage capacity limitations. And obviously, you know, everyone talks about secure delivery of information anytime, anywhere, and on any device. So to sum it up, I would probably say it's three things. It's self-service solutions, enhanced identity management solutions, and mobile computing, and delivering information securely.
All right, well, let's jump into each of those. But first, I got to ask about the COBOL applications. I think you and the Social Security Administration are one of the few left in government that are still using the ancient language of COBOL. Do you still have people who can support that, or is it mainly contractors, and are you trying to move out of that COBOL world?
Yes, it's, you know, Social Security has a different, primarily it's also the same mission, but yes, it's the same problem that they have as well. My strategy is to see how we can migrate away from that. I mean, the agency has moved along so far. It's, I'm not saying that COBOL is a bad language or anything. It's just that, like you mentioned, you know, finding the right people to support us. You know, along with that aging workforce, I have a real good tenure here. My people, especially in the applications development, have 35 to 40 years. You know, so that has good things and bad things too. The good things is that institution knowledge, you know, we know how to fix things and get things done. We know who to call and get things going. Now, can I have the same luxury 10 years from now? Probably not. And that's what I'm trying to solve. So migrating from the COBOL applications, we did this, you know, when I was with the Peace Corps, we had to do something similar. But here, what we are looking at is we bought the hardware, we bought the newer mainframe. So that at least gives us maybe 4 years to look into come up with a strategic direction, you know, how we do it. And right now we are more in the RFI stage, I should say, trying to see what's out there. I'm not looking at a pure lines of code to lines of code translation. I'm more looking at, can we use this also to modernize and streamline our operations? How can we move away from the batch-oriented process into more real-time? In fact, you know, that's what our customers should be expecting. Possibly today they are okay with it because the population we deal today grew up maybe in the, not so much in the technology area, but I'm sure the next generation expects us to provide mobile applications, expects information at the click of a button. So we need to be ready to embrace that. And that's what I'm looking for when I talk about the COBOL migrations. We're going to look at not just a rework, but also looking at repurposing and also looking at some of the newer technologies that we can embrace, whether it's mobile computing or whether it's putting stuff into the private cloud.
So what made you decide to go down the path of going back to the mainframe for, as you said, four more years versus application by application by application and deciding if you can move that to the cloud or move that to, you know, a mobile app?
You know, our mainframe environment was aging. It's, it was at the end of its life. So we need to make sure that, have a stable environment at least for the next 4 years. So that's where we put in that investment. We put in the hardware investment to get the top-of-the-class IBM ZOS BC12. So that's we're in the process of implementing and putting it into production next month. So that, from a hardware point of view, I can rest assured that, I'm not going to have any problems there. And that's the window that I'm using to see how we can migrate away from the COBOL infrastructure to this. To add to this, when someone retires and when I have a vacancy opening for COBOL, the person coming in is in the mid-50s. So I'm not solving the problem. I'm just pushing the problem, into the future. And to get the younger generation and to make sure that we have a good applications strategy, and that's the reason why, we decided that we should migrate away from the COBOL into something else. Now, COBOL is not just the only platform that we have. We also have Microsoft .NET infrastructure in place for all our customer-facing applications. So a strategy would be that, okay, we have the Windows architecture into the SOAP, service-oriented architecture, possibly look at this core mission applications, and how can we still use our institution knowledge, before they walk out of the door and migrate into something that everyone feels comfortable.
Talk about the workforce issue for a second. As you said, you guys have a lot of people with 30, 40 years of experience, which is incredible that not only do you still have them, because a lot of people are retiring, but you're able to find people to replace them who understand COBOL. How are you looking at that workforce issue to bring in maybe a new generation to help with technology and to move you guys out of the mainframe COBOL era and even maybe out of the .NET into some of the other more flexible, more modern platforms?
Well, our strategy here is that, we're working along with the HR on an innovative talent management to mitigate the risks that I was just mentioning. As you know, with rapid advancements in technology, we need to make sure that we have routine assessment of core skills. And as we identify the gaps, my directors encourage the employees to take advanced training programs. So even though I have legacy teams, we're always telling them that here are some of the new tools, here's some way of doing things, here's some way that you can code better. So that's always continuing. And from a knowledge sharing perspective, I'm influencing the staff to do better documentation. We also need better standard operating procedures and status reports. I'm a big supporter of status reports. Along with that, I'm also looking at a mentor-mentee type scenario, which, the Peace Corps uses that quite often, where our senior staff with institution knowledge, can train and develop the newly hired staff. And these are the people who would bring in those emerging technology skills. So in the right use case, the last couple of months of the soon-to-retire employee, I'm not going to use him to spend time on leading projects or doing the actual work, but they would be more used on coaching others and sharing the wealth of knowledge. So that's how we're trying to see how we can use that institution knowledge, how we can transfer that knowledge to the next generation of developers that we bring in.
I think that knowledge management is one of those areas that's so overlooked or underlooked, I guess, by agencies too often, where you have people who've been in the agency for 20, 30, 40 years and understand the ins and the outs and where all the bodies are buried, if you will. Are you using anything like social media, like wikis or blogs, or how are you capturing that knowledge? Because obviously when that person leaves, they can only impart so much to their mentor-mentee relationship. So are you able to capture that knowledge in any way that can be around forever?
We are in the process of just starting up. We're looking at SharePoint and trying to embrace SharePoint into more of its use here. From the social media aspect, possibly, that I know the back last summer, the CIO Council put out the best practices on the privacy side, how to implement social media. So that's something that we're looking at, because not just my institution knowledge that's going to walk out of the door, I also support the railroad community that hopefully I would like to see that we can leverage and put in the right messaging from the social media side on that aspect. But back to the the knowledge transition, I'm enforcing better documentation, so whether they set up their own profile in Active Directory. But more than that, you know, are we capturing the standard operating procedures? Do we have good status reports? We do monthly, but I'm trying to say, you know, can we do those weekly as well? So in that way, along with the process, we're also capturing if there were issues, how did we solve that issue, and what were some of the places that we looked at to, you know, the root cause analysis that we did to solve the problem. So these are all being tracked. In fact, that's something that possibly I should be looking for help from the vendors. How can we move all of these into SharePoint, and how can we build in better discovery tools that can help us in this process too? You know, should there be an issue or some problem that we need to see how they're resolved, you know, way back, we have a method to go and look into.
Are you looking at any kind of acquisition strategy around that right now, an RFI or an RFP?
In our enterprise roadmap, we do have a knowledge portal and a discovery search, so soon we would be putting out RFIs. I do welcome vendors to come up with their innovative solutions to help us in that area. But yes, we'll be putting out RFIs.
All right. Now, don't blame me when your phone starts ringing and your email blows up from all those vendors wanting to take your time. Let's move over to social media, since that came up. You talked about the CIO councils, how to protect privacy, but you're also talking about social media to reach out to your customers, the people in the railroad retirement community. What are you doing around social media to kind of engage with them more often, more regularly?
So at this stage, I would probably say that we're in the preliminary planning stages. I see that, you know, from a technology point of view, yes, we can go and implement that, but I also want to make sure that our public affairs office is ready to support that initiative. You know, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we can have a social media presence, we can put ourselves on the Facebook, you know, have Twitter feeds and so on. But if you don't have someone engaged to look into those feeds and put in the right messaging, I think that'll be not good for this agency. So that's something that we are working to get that done. From our workforce today, I would say that the retirement community is possibly not that actively engaged, but our the other community that we look into, the unemployment insurance, you know, they are more tech-savvy, more mobile applications. So soon we will be getting into that direction, but today, no, we're not embracing as much as I would like to see in that area.
All right, very nice. And I think that we're going to talk about that mobile apps and some of the more tech-savvy stuff you're doing in a second. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board. Now, Ram, before break, we're talking a lot about your priorities. We talked a little bit about COBOL. We talked about the IT workforce, which is always important. But when we left on a little bit about social media, what are you guys doing around identity management to improve how your customers kind of use your services?
From the identity management aspect, you know, there are two areas that I'm focusing on. First is my internal federal government workforce and the contractors. So that's one aspect where everyone is mandated by the HSPD 12, or what they call as the ICAM these days. The idea is that by a certain date, we all have to have logical access, use our PIV cards to get onto the network. So that's progressing well. But more than that, my focus is on how do I ensure that the railroad community and the railroad employer that we reach out to, that we have strong identity management solutions. What we do today is working, but probably it's a little slower. You know, we send them a PIN password using the U.S. mail system, and that's how we do it. What I'm looking for is something similar to what the banks do today. You know, the banks have solved out this problem, you know, very nicely. In fact, whether we use any computer or PC to do online banking, they have a way of establishing that strong identity, whether we're talking multi-factor, using some other risk management process to identify the user. And that's what I'm looking at to bring to our community as well. For example, it could be the banks have figured out that if I log in from a PC and tomorrow I switch to another PC, they already know that I'm coming from a different location, and they go through the same challenge questions and, you know, try to establish that identity again. And that's something that we could do here. For our railroad employers, you know, we know where they are, we know where their locations are, so that's a little easy to do. But for the retirement community, you know, for them it's a little difficult because they don't have a fixed place that they come from. They could be anywhere. And what I'm looking there is some ways to get away from the key logging, you know, malware that could be introduced on the PC. So things like when we ask for a PIN password, could we put up a digital image on the screen and then they use a mouse click, and these digital image, the keyboard, the numbers keep switching. I know that my Capital One Bank does that all the time. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at to identify who that person is and to provide better solutions. Once we have the strong identity management solutions, then I think I can go and build robust mobile applications to solve these needs.
Let me back up for a sec. I want to definitely talk a little bit more about the customer community, but the internal community, you said you have some deadlines around HSPD-12 and logical access. How close are you guys? Can you give me any kind of update? When is your deadline at the RRB?
We are keeping track of that. As of today, the issuance of the physical PIV cards, the PIV cards, I mean, we met that target goal. What we're doing now is, I think that I'm a little behind on the logical access to get onto the network. We are just completing our Windows 7 migration, and our strategy is that by April, we should be done with the Windows 7 migration. And what we are telling our staff is that as they get the new PC with Windows 7, that's when we are enforcing them to use the PIV card.
And is that Windows 7 migration, how tough has that been? I know a lot of CIOs are facing the same thing, moving from XP. I think it is April when Microsoft said they're going to stop supporting XP.
Correct. And I think that's the target that we're trying to meet. April 8th is the date when, you know, Microsoft Windows XP support runs out, and our goal is to, you know, finish the project by then. It is challenging in the sense, but then again, you know, if you had a good standard image and a good process in place, and an IT governance, I don't think that problem should be that difficult. And that's what we are enforcing. As we are doing the migration from XP to Windows 7, we're also looking from an IT governance point of view, making sure that we have a good catalog of the applications that are being used. We have a good baseline of the standard image that we're going to deploy. I would have preferred that we have all gone into the 64-bit architecture, but I think now we have a mix of both 32-bit and 64-bit. This goes back to, you know, supporting the legacy applications that I have on the mainframe. So not all of our applications are 64-bit enabled. So we have a mix. So that's something that we'll solve right after we do our Windows 7 migration.
And the difference between 32 and 64-bit is the security issue of the length of the hash, if you will?
That is correct. And also the 64-bit use more memory on these PCs, so it'll perform better. With the 32-bit, I'm just limited to 4 gigabytes of memory. So it gives me more performance, and as well as, yes, security is also a big key feature. The 64-bit is more robust.
Do you have a time frame around when you'd like to get that two-factor authentication built in? And how much does that depend on your move to this new mainframe? And does it interact with COBOL? I mean, does all of that affect you? Or is that COBOL usually on the back end and the .NET customer-facing apps that you talked about, really that's where that will get handled?
That's correct. It's the back-end infrastructure and the COBOL applications will not be affected because it's the railroad community primarily interacts with the .NET, the web portal applications. So that's where we'll try to put in the strong identity management solutions. As far as time frame goes, I don't have a set time frame. I'm just looking at what's out there. Soon we'll be putting out an RFI on how to do this. But the window that I mentioned earlier, the 4 years, I think that's the target to move into that IT enterprise roadmap. So in 4 years, we would like to make sure that we have a good back-end operations, possibly migrated away from COBOL, a good identity management solutions that we can build better applications using these identity management solutions.
Something you talked about several times during this interview is the four-year window. Somebody sitting back scratching their head going, oh my goodness, 4 years? It seems so long. Why do you have to set up this four-year window versus getting it done in 6 months or 9 months? Is it just that many older applications that you're dealing with and the migration from old to new is just that much tougher?
Yeah, I do mention that it's a four-year window, but yes, I do have different phases though. So in the enterprise roadmap that we are working on is called Office in the Cloud. So in 4 years, we would like to change the culture here so that we embrace virtualization. People can work from anywhere, from any place that everyone says. You know, we have solved our some of the limitations that we have on the compute side as well as storage side. So yes, 4 years is a long window, but I do have milestones to get us there.
From a short-term perspective, you've talked about several things. Of the things you've talked about, or is there something else that you say, okay, in the next, you know, year we'll be here, and then 2 years will be, you know, plus four on that? Like, what are some of those milestones, and how are you looking at it?
So at a high level, what we're trying to do is, like, could we do a proof of concept on the COBOL migration? So take one application. I don't want to go at the two ends of the spectrum. I don't want to touch that's too critical for a mission, or that's a low-hanging fruit. Somewhere in the middle, we pick an application, and we do a proof of concept and show that we can migrate it into the new platform. And that's the target that I would like to establish by September. What that gives me is, am I right on the budget planning? Do I need more? Do I have the right resources? So, and also ask for, you know, do we need to go and ask for more money, other funds? And as well as some of the other things that we, on the infrastructure side, you know, strong identity management. Could we also do like a proof of concept to see if these solutions will really work for us?
You mentioned a couple of potential opportunities for vendors. So I got to ask the question, what should vendors know about working with your office?
We are in Chicago, so I'm not in the Washington, D.C. area. So possibly, maybe I'm not able to take advantage of some of the federal government and the vendor presence, and I think in the Washington, D.C. area is much larger. Given that we are a small agency, we do have the flexibility to execute faster and shorten the procurement cycle. Our IT strategic plan is on the website, and you know, we welcome RFI responses and innovations too from vendors, you know, how we can implement citizen-centric or the self-service solutions, transforming legacy environments, and even continuity of operations. I didn't mention a lot about the continuity of operations in the sense that today we do DR tests twice a year, and my goal is that we need to move away from those twice a test, you know, twice a year tests, you know, and get into more of a continuity of operations. So on that aspect, I'm looking at warm sites, you know, how we can fail our email systems, or how we can fail our applications to another environment and keep our operations running.
Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. Sounds like we could probably talk a little bit longer. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Ram Murthy, the CIO of the Railroad Retirement Board. Ram, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.